Good evening, everybody. Don't forget, we've got a couple of upcoming seminars, Chicago and Mantua, New Jersey, which is right outside of Philly. Go to jeffgelmanseminars.com, jeffgelmanseminars.com. You can learn a lot more about them. It'd be great to have you there. Those are the only two seminars we're doing probably left in 2024, other than our mastermind. Mastermind is a five-day seminar series where we do a lot of business building. Obviously, there's dog training. It's geared towards trainers as well as people that want to get into dog training as well. We cover social media, building businesses, and it's a fantastic, fantastic five-day program. It's down here in beautiful, beautiful Florida. Anyway, hello, Joelle. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. My name is Jeff Gelman of Solid Canine Training, and this is Joelle. Is that too bright for you?
It's very bright, yeah. I don't know why. I don't think it's this light. I think it's the other light. It's very washed. That one.
That one there. Hold on one second. I want you to talk a little bit now.
So we did sell out our... Oh, no, it's good now. You can leave. You can leave. We sold out our mastermind in May, but we are going to do another one in October because we had so many people who were like, is there going to be another? So we are going to do another one in October. If you've ever wanted to do like in-person training with us and you're a trainer, this is like the only program we do for trainers. Mm-hmm. It's hands-on, very intensive, 5 days. So that'll be like first week of October of 2024.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, our new coaching program, which is really incredible. We've got a 90-day fast track, and it's game changing. Think about 90 days, twice a week, 1 hour Zooms each time. So there's going to be 24 coaching calls, 1 hour each on Zoom, Wednesdays and Saturdays. And it's just a game changer.
People in there are already making like huge progress.
We just started.
We literally just started.
10 days in, 12 days in.
Yeah.
People are dramatically changing their dogs because that's realistically how long it takes. I mean, not to train your dog, but you can make, put it this way, you can make dramatic change in one session. One session.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there's difficult dogs out there, but you can get progress. Even with the most difficult dog ever, you can make tremendous progress in one session of some stuff. You know, one, two, three things, you know. Because there's I talked about this on my morning podcast this morning, the Wake the Fuck Up with Jeff show, which streams exclusively on in our community. And you all put links up to the community because that's another game changer. Right now, with what we're doing, there's no excuse between our coaching, our courses, and our community. There's really no excuse why you cannot have an incredibly great dog that you have a great relationship with, that you can take everywhere, that you can do awesome things. I'm just, you know, everybody's just chasing and chasing and chasing either online courses or dog trainers, but especially dog trainers in person, and you're not getting much experience at all, and much results. And it's sad. It's sad. This industry is buyer beware, put it that way. Buyer beware. And you should be getting proof, you know, actual results online. Don't be fazed by degrees. Please don't be. And it's so funny that all the intellectuals will use that. Like people still, in fact, there was a comment last week, like, oh, well, I wouldn't know that because I'm not, you know, certified. I'm like, I've been training for 20 years, over 10,000 dogs. I would go toe-to-toe with any certified dog trainer out there. Certification doesn't mean anything. And for all my young dog trainers out there, don't feel like you need to be certified to make a dramatic difference in the world. You just don't. And for all the folks out there that are going through these courses, whether it's 6 weeks or 6 months or a year, you have a lot to learn. Trust me on that. You have a lot to learn. As soon as you walk into someone's house, you will feel lost. You just will. I mean, that's not a dig on you. That's just the reality of it. You will be so lost on what to do because they don't teach you that. They don't teach you about the coaching clients. They don't teach you about the psychodynamic of a relationship between the the humans in the house. They don't teach you about the psychodynamic relationship between the dog and the human. They don't teach you those things. They don't teach you how to troubleshoot. They don't teach you how to problem solve. They don't teach you enough of behavior modification. They don't teach you how to stop unwanted behaviors effectively. They don't teach you how to talk to clients. There's so much they don't teach you, so much that is left that you can only garner from experience working with lots of dogs, lots of badly behaved dogs, lots of dogs that are not put together mentally, which there is a lot of right now. If you're a family pet dog trainer, you rarely come across a dog that is actually like put together properly. That doesn't make them bad dogs. But what it does is it means the learning process is different. One plus one does not equal two. It's not that linear. It's just not. It's way more troubleshooting. And they're not even touching on it. They're not even touching on it at all. So it's just really, really ironic what's happening out there. That's why so many people are struggling. Next.
All right. Snuggle Buns says, hey, everyone. Hope you're all doing well. Hey, Snuggle Buns. Okay. Wolf says, good evening, friends.
Hey, how are you?
Constance says, hey, everyone. Hey, Constance.
Hey, Constance. How are you?
Tom says, miss you, Jeff.
Oh, I'm here. Miss you too. Was that Tom over in the Netherlands?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I never pronounced it.
I miss you too. Yeah.
Let's see. Skylar.
Tom, we started his career. He was a dog walker. He did like excursions. Mm. We started his career. Oh, gosh. Probably, Tom, what is it? 10 years ago? 8 years ago? Over in the Netherlands. He flew from the Netherlands.
Wow.
He did train the trainers and then a shadow after that. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah. Started his career. All around the world, been doing this for a long, long time. Mm. Next.
Skylar says, I've been to 3 dog trainers, sunk $4,000 into training, and has been one crappy trainer after another.
Mm-hmm.
First one ghosted me, second one we didn't do much, and third one left us both traumatized.
Yep, that sounds about right. That literally sums it all up. It's sad. Ghosted you, hopefully you got 100% of your money back. And then you want to make sure, I always suggest people just like start out with one-on-ones if they offer them, just to get the idea of the training. And don't be fooled by words like certified, accredited, reward only, science-based, and force-free.
If you don't get some...
Don't be
like
confused by those things.
Some bit of improvement in your very first session.
Yeah.
Like that's a red flag.
Yep.
You should be able to make some progress,
yep.
Whether it's getting the dog to walk nicely on a leash,
yep.
Stop barking, stop jumping, whatever it may be.
Yep.
There are so many things that can be resolved your yep. first session.
And it's funny because it's like this is applicable towards.
She got none of her money back.
None of her money back? Well, there's something called small claims court. There's also something.
Who's going to do that?
Okay, then get a crowbar. Just go old school. Yeah. If somebody.
That's so common though. I mean, we've had clients.
I know, but I'm just saying though, but if you paid to have new windows installed in your house and they never showed up to install them.
Industry. Like, look how many clients come to us. They're like, my dog came back completely untrained. So now we're their second or third board and trained.
Right.
And we ask them like, did you get your money? Everyone says no.
Right. But it's like, it's sort of like, you know, like that's like buying. Anything. Oh, I bought a new refrigerator freezer from the appliance store and they just never delivered it.
Well, it's a little different.
Why?
Because dog training, though, there is a human component.
No. Ghosting, though.
Oh, ghosting.
Ghosting.
Yeah.
Meaning not, if I'm, I mean, I'm not, maybe I'm not hip or not, but I believe ghosting means
right.
not showing up.
I forgot about the ghosting.
Yeah.
I was thinking didn't get results.
No. Do you get results could be, that's on both trainer and the owner, actually. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of non-owner compliance too. But what I'm saying is ghosting means didn't show up.
Right.
That's like, there's laws about that.
Yeah.
There's laws, money in exchange for services. The service was not showing up. Mm-hmm. the service was for, whether it's a boarding train or 5 1-hour sessions. Mm-hmm. It's like, those are services.
Right.
I mean, there's so much precedent out there. If a gym, you paid for a year membership to a gym and it closes for 4 months, there's massive amounts of lawsuits.
I feel like I never got refunded when that whole COVID shutdown happened for our gym memberships. I feel like I kept on paying.
They should. No, I think they stopped.
Did they pause
it? I think they stopped. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next.
Tom said it's a long time ago and I got very successful thanks to you, still helping people with the techniques you taught me.
Awesome. Awesome. So happy for you. You still going out with that one girl? You're still dating that one girl that you biked across Netherlands with or something, maybe, if I'm recalling correctly. Next.
Constance says, hey, everybody. Hey, Constance.
Hey, Constance.
Avi says, hello. Hey, Avi. Okay, Wolf, another off-leash dog. This one was 200 feet away and paying no attention to us. My dog still went bonkers. How do I set this up?
Yeah. If you're not using a dominant dog collar, get a dominant dog collar. Who's this?
Kristen.
She's in our coaching, right? Mm-hmm. Get a video of this, Kristen. I want to see. Okay. Get a video. I want to see.
Oh, she's community. She's not in 90 day.
Damn it. I want to see what you're doing that's getting, that you're not able to stop your dog. So I can help you.
Well, we have a coaching call tomorrow, though, for the whole community.
Yeah.
So make sure you're on the call.
Get a video. Get a video. It's because if I can just see what you're not doing and see what you're doing, I can be like, oh, okay, it's no surprise that the dog's not responding that way. Again, dealing with leash reactivity, it's massive troubleshooting. That's a great example of what I was talking about before. There's massive troubleshooting. And this is what, again, you know, so for you, get a video. Get a video. Let us see the video. You can just share your screen or send it to us and we'll watch it. But you can easily, on Zoom calls, you can do the share your screen feature, put it up on your desktop and start playing. You'll start playing it. You'll pause it, share your screen, and you'll be able to show it. You'll be able to show it to us so we can help you troubleshoot that. But this is a great example of
it's random with her dog.
These are great examples of like what they don't teach you in dog training school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how about if that doesn't work? And it's so ridiculous what they do, like tell you to do, that rarely ever works, you know? And that's the reality of working with hardcore leash reactive dogs. And everybody's great sitting behind a keyboard, but when rubber hits the road, they're not getting results at all.
Are you training like outside of dog parks and stuff too? Because that's always a good place to set up.
Yeah.
Like if you're just not seeing enough dogs.
Yeah, just walk your dog up and down a dog park.
Because then they're off leash everywhere.
Yeah, yep.
Skylar said the first one taught her how to sit, but after she started developing reactivity, he completely ghosted me.
Okay, so
like after her reactivity didn't get better, he just never responded to a single message.
Just to let you know, it's like, so first of all, I would take repercussions against that, but just first of all, like teaching sit is like not even necessary. Like dogs will, you teaching sit is a 2-minute protocol. Please, nobody hire a trainer to teach sit. just don't, okay? Just watch free videos. Watch free videos. People should be hiring trainers for behavior modification. All obedience is available in so many ways for free. Behavior modification takes a massive skill set and a lot of troubleshooting. But basic obedience, you can learn it from the comfort of your own home.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can do it for free or very low cost.
Videos on
everybody.
Obedience.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've got a full course on it, start to finish, including e-collar. But there's so much free information out there. Next.
Joyful Canine said, happy Friday, guys. I invited Skylar. She's brand new. She's got the American Pitbull Terrier mix, had 4 failed trainers, over 4K spent. I told her you'll empower.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so start off with, I mean, ideally you would join our coaching course. Yes, it's going to cost you more money. That's the hard part about what we do. I've got to pay more money after I was already spent $4,000, but we show up. We'll get you results. We'll get you results. We'll get you more results in 60 minutes than you did with all 3 trainers. And I don't care who the trainers are. I just don't, you know, it's like, people need to hold their trainers accountable. hold them accountable. You know what I mean? It's like, get, it's just, and this is not against any trainer or any, there's like proper business etiquette. And that's the thing about the dog training industry is a lot of people don't even have basic business etiquette. They don't know. They just don't know at all. This is another conversation that I talk about that I'm coming across as a dick, but one of the other well-known dog trainers will talk about and be like, oh my God, that's so incredible. I can already feel it. Mm-hmm. I can already feel it. It's one of those conversations that I come across as an asshole just because I'm bringing it to the table.
Yeah.
Next.
Let's see. Nikki, I took Gunner off property today for some time in the truck while driving.
Nice.
A few bumps, but he's doing phenomenal. Even had a good heel in a parking lot.
Good.
Woohoo!
Good. Yeah. Car rides are important. Dogs in cars. I demonstrated it with the dog we have here. They go in the car and they lie down. We're
literally 1 week or a week and 2 days into our fast track coaching too.
Yeah. So dogs go in cars, lie down. It's all part of the whole being over aroused, which creates a lot of unwanted behaviors. An over-aroused dog, as that was the theme of my show this morning, an over-aroused dog usually creates unwanted behaviors. So by teaching, like, this is all about the lifestyle stuff, which Simon has already learned.
Mm-hmm.
Simon's a brand new boarding trainee. He's been here for a week, and he's only been on 3 car rides, but he already knows if I go in Jeff's truck, I immediately lie down.
He's a very
soft
dog.
Yeah. It's just like he just knows to do it. And that way, dogs are not usually anxious. They're not pacing back and forth, historically not barking. They're not getting up on, you know, all over, you know, whoever else is in there. They're not jumping into the front seats. They're calm. And when you have that state of mind, it's incredible what you can do. Next.
See. Skylar said, I taught her sit and yes over and over again. That's it. We went to the park and she sat there. We used a prong, but nothing.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't make a difference if you used a prong. You can teach sit with like
anything.
I don't care about the tools. These are not tool conversations.
Sit's not going to stop reactivity.
Okay. Yeah. These are not tool conversations. This is, you need to understand, like, people need to understand how to actually stop reactivity. And we're like, well, Jeff, how do we know you know how to stop reactivity? We have courses on it. We have 4 courses on it. You know? The proof is in the pudding. All the stuff that you see from all of our seminars and all of our videos that you're uncomfortable with on how to stop reactivity, that's how you stop reactivity. There's no easy way to do it. There's no, like, I don't want to spend, you know, months stopping it. I want to stop it today. And your average dog who struggles with leash reactivity could be stopped in 1 day. Now, 100% of the time, no. You still might have flare-ups, but you can at least finally get a good walk in. Mm-hmm. Next.
Indy says, hello. Thank you for all you do for the dogs and the humans.
Oh, you're welcome.
Jan says, howdy. Hey, Jan.
Hey, Jan. How are you?
Joyful Canine, I returned clients money by offer earlier on if I needed to refer out and they prepaid sessions. People mm-hmm. have to think how it feels for them when they spend their hard-earned money.
But so it's not, that's awesome of you, but it's beyond that. You didn't provide the service. So you're right. Yeah, you referred out because the dog was probably above your skill set, which is the smart thing to do for dog trainers. But you didn't provide the service. It's not your right to keep the money. You did not provide the service at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so down in Florida, everybody has a swimming pool. People were quoted pre-COVID. The price of a swimming pool, let's say it was $40,000, which is the price of an average, you know, kidney-shaped pool with deck, gunite, back pre-COVID. After COVID, it was $90,000 to $100,000. And there are people, though, that gave the quote at $40,000 that actually honored it. And they didn't have to honor it because quotes are usually only good for 90 days or so. They're not good for 2 years, that's for sure. The price of PVC piping went up so much. And there's a lot of PVC piping in pools. The price of labor, the price of cement, the price of just everything went up. But it's incredible how there's, you know, you don't provide the service though, like you give the money back. The way it is. Next.
That's just the way it is. Every time we say that, that song goes plays in my head. How about you?
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
What's that? Is that Tupac?
Which song?
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
I don't know if he's covering another group or not.
No, I'm telling you. Guys, what's that song? I'm pretty sure it's Tupac.
I don't know if that's a Tupac.
Oh my god. It didn't sound like Tupac. Somebody has to know. That's the chorus.
Oh, okay.
Skylar says, the last trainer, I saw results, but it was really bad. He took us in a park with tons of dogs and kids right off the bat, and it didn't really work. It was full of chaos, and I learned nothing. I don't hate these tools. I just hate the trainers who aren't spending the time explaining them.
Yeah, but again,
thank you for speaking about it.
But again, like, it's not a tool conversation. It's these, like, let's stop. Like, listen, this is not a tool conversation. The concept, and whether you like them or not, is not as important either. The concept that you were ghosted, boom, unethical behavior. The issue that you were taken to a park with tons of dogs and people and your dog is dog reactive on the first session, not proper. Like, that's just not how you train dogs. That's not how you help clients. That's what I mean by, like, trainers need to understand actually how to train
the human.
Yeah. But put it this way. We just got a biting dog in. I'm not going to, like, hey, let's take him to a park and let all these people walk up and pet the dog. That's what happened with you. And it's not your fault. It's not your fault at all. That's what I'm just trying to educate the public. But that's exactly what happened. It's like, are you kidding? No one's going to pet this dog. This dog's going to learn to not care about humans. We're going to do so much pre-work before we go out in public. Like, leash reactive dogs, they don't need to go for a walk for the first two or three sessions or for the first week of a boarding train.
Yeah, we don't go, like, right in.
Obviously, you exercise them. Obviously, you potty them. Obviously, they go outside, but they don't need to go for a walk. Like, training center.
Skylar, we have a free training going on right now. If you message us the word solutions, you'll get a free leash reactivity training. And it's like our driveway drills or the drills we say to do on your street before you ever go and tackle.
You haven't even gone on a walk yet.
The walk. Right. But if you're struggling with leash reactivity, this is like step one for us. Yep. We teach this to every one of our clients.
And then type in WTW for walk the walk.
And you'll get a free course
on walking.
It'll teach you how to properly train.
So we have all these free resources, but meanwhile we have coaching for, the new price is $1,997 just for virtual coaching. We have courses for $97, $197, free courses. So we've got all kinds of things so people can, like, get different, whatever you're about.
Also have all-inclusive for all of our courses plus coaching. Like, plus coaching. You might want to just hop on a call with Jeff and figure out.
Just,
like,
put my phone. You know what?
She's on Instagram, though. Just shoot us a DM.
She'll
be able to take the link from Instagram.
But she can write it down.
I mean, yeah.
And if you want to book a meeting with me.
You can book a 15-minute call with Jeff.
Yeah.
And get you on the right track.
Yeah. Just book a 15-minute call with me and I'll get you on the right track. It's free. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help. The calls are not for me solving your problems. The helps are for how can we solve your problems?
Yeah.
How can we solve your problems? And I'm always going to go most efficient, most economical, most advocating for you and the dog. So it could be anything from don't give us any money, get these free courses, mm-hmm. to your dog actually needs a board and train. And I can tell just by, you know, you do this long enough, you know. Next.
Constance, she says, you beat me to it. Yes, changes. What you know about Tupac? I have my oldest sister, it just turned 45. So I grew up listening to their music. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't belong in my generation. Because I had all older sisters and I hung out with them and their friends. And then when my older brothers graduated high school, I was like, I have no friends anymore. I transferred schools. All my friends graduated before I did. Shannon says, how long can a 4-month-old puppy stay in a crate for? I have to be at work for 6 to 8 hours once a week. 4-month-old puppy.
So 16 weeks old. Well, I don't know. First of all, can the dog stay in the crate for 2 hours without soiling? 3 hours without soiling? Does the dog go through the night without soiling? Do you have to let the dog out? But 16 weeks old, 8 hours, all depends. Yes, if the dog is, like, I know dogs that are 12 weeks old, they can go overnight. 14 weeks old, they can go overnight. So 6 to 8 hours isn't much. But you might want to, for the first couple weeks, try to get maybe a pet dog walker, pet sitter to come in, the midway point. But I don't know where you are on your crate training journey. I've got a dog coming in this weekend for just boarding. It boarded last weekend. It's a French bulldog. She doesn't want to keep it in a crate at home. And that's not a deal breaker for me. I'm a huge advocate of crates. Keeps it in a little playpen, but it's not used to being in a crate. And it had accidents. I cleaned it up. I mean, again, it's what you do, which is a unique concept for some trainers that do board and train and boarding. Like that dog, I don't think it's so old as your dog though, but it probably can't even stay in a crate for 4 to 5 hours yet. Mm. Yeah, but it's actually, no, I'm sorry, because by the after the first couple of days when I got into a good routine, it was sleeping through the night with no accidents. Yeah, next.
Skylar said, let's see, there's a couple here. I don't want to miss any. I will definitely look into the coaching. I'm a teacher, and hopefully when I get paid next, I can join. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
She also said, saying that it was unethical is such a shocking thing to hear. The amount of people who told me that was normal is insane.
Well,
normal.
You're right. It is normal. That's how unethical this industry is. Our industry is very unethical. So something, just because something is normal, that doesn't mean it's not unethical. But you're right, it is. That's because you have a bunch of people that have never owned, run, managed a business before, all of a sudden becoming business owners. This is not just in dog training, it's in a lot of things. Just because you are, okay, so our next door neighbor, he's a pool cleaner. But he worked for a pool cleaner, and now he owns his own business. I bet you his life was easier when he was just a pool cleaner.
Oh, 1,000%. I don't think anybody understands.
Okay. Once you own a business, everything in your life changes. Literally everything. Everything in your life changes. And it's not like, it's so funny. People think, I want to own my own business, so I can pick my own hours. Da, da, da. You never pick your hours, even if you've got good boundaries.
It's like, I quit my 9 to 5 so I can work 24/7.
Right. Most people buy themselves a job.
Yeah.
You're buying yourself a job, but that's not the goal. The goal is you start, you know, we can get into the whole generational wealth thing, but that's a whole nother conversation.
Coaching calls.
I'm not Dave Ramsey here, but it's like, this industry is filled with people on both sides of the aisle that have no business owning a business. And it shows. Next.
Kay Wolf said he normally ignores all other dogs. This one was off leash chasing a squirrel and he lost it. It was so far away from us. I'll try to hop on the coaching call tomorrow.
Yeah, that's too bad. That's too bad because that is a good distance. And it was moving, just because it was moving. I've got a feeling we still have an arousal issue possibly with the dog. You might have missed something. You might have missed some of the loading. It could be a timing issue. But then again, shit happens.
Yeah.
Shit happens. There's been days that our dogs have blown off on dogs.
Well, the other night when I was walking Simon with R2, we passed the super reactive dog and they were fine.
Oh, was that little?
Then on the way back, there was another little dog behind a fence, and they didn't explode, but they all got
tense,
super huffy. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, you get dogs lunge at you all the time.
Yeah, and not only that, dogs go nuts behind fences. they'll stop and take a freaking piss right there.
Yeah.
They don't care. They literally like, I don't care about you so much. I'm going to piss on your lawn. Obviously, it's not their lawn. We don't let our dogs go that far in. It's the, you know, right about the sidewalk, you know. But yeah. But to get huffy, like, guess what? It happens. Mm-hmm. What do? Tell your dogs to cut the shit and you move on.
Move on.
So if it's not happening all the time, don't beat yourself up. Next.
Nick's 11 said, I was just introduced to you by my PA trainer, Stacy. Thank you for your knowledge. Learning the e-collar now.
Awesome.
Awesome. Welcome.
Yep. Definitely go through the steps, the four steps of e-collar training. Don't skip any steps. Don't skip any steps. Because if you ever run into trouble and you need our help, we're speaking the same language.
Yes.
It'll be easier for us to troubleshoot. Next.
Joyful Canine said, I think the community and coaching calls are priceless. $40 a month Canadian for me is a no-brainer. You can even bring your dog and work them right there.
Yeah. If the rates now, everything's gone up though.
Yeah, but she's locked in.
I know. You're locked in. That's why people were locked in. But even at the higher rate of $997, which sounds like a lot, but to change your life with your dog, you get 26 dad, you get 26 coaching calls a year. You get a great community. You get a lot of free videos.
Our virtual clients, it's crazy to think that now because in Rhode Island, we had such a huge in-person presence. But here,
we weren't doing virtual.
I think the majority of our clients these days are virtual.
Well, we're doing one-on-ones, but
different. People are getting just as good of results.
Yeah. Yep.
Because we're really done. Any pet, but I got that dog in me. What are some tips you have?
I'd start thinking about writing lyrics, putting some lyrics down. I would. Start with poetry. Start with a haiku. Keep it simple. Start with a haiku. Next.
Brittany says, couple of us in the community. Okay, first of all, Brittany, I don't know why I found your Instagram today. It was like suggested.
Because that's all you do.
And you're a freaking badass. Her workouts while she's pregnant, she is crushing it.
Mm.
Crushing it. You don't even know she's pregnant.
Mm.
You're so inspirational. Just saying. But Brittany said, a couple of us community members were talking about how much we appreciate you guys just saying it's okay to do things that make your dogs better while everybody else makes you feel like shit. For example, with the baby proofing our dogs, they don't have free access to toys. They are picked up and put away. And then they get one, maybe two toys that are given to them at a specific time.
You're going to hell for that.
They're corrected for picking up anything else off the floor. Nobody ever suggests that stuff.
It's
such a simple concept. Yeah.
Yes. And it's these simple concepts that are not taught in schools. Common sense shit. It's like, you do realize people live in homes with socks on the floor and they didn't flush the fucking toilet. And there's food out, and someone left the dishwasher open, and someone didn't clean up their dinner plates and left their half-eaten dinner on the kitchen table. And holy shit, there's a half-eaten granola bar right on the easy chair because your phone rang and it was across the room, and you got up from the easy chair and you answer the phone and you forget about the granola bar, and meanwhile you own a dog. So how do you stop counter surfing? A dog stealing food off of chairs. Dogs eating sandwiches or food from kitchen tables. Oh, just either don't let the dog in those areas, which you can do, but or like make sure everybody cleans up, which yeah, you should do. And I'm more concerned about like freaking ants and shit. But or just train the dog to leave it alone. But they don't teach you this stuff. They don't teach you how to stop counter surfing, how to keep dogs off.
And
tables,
also, though, you know, like just going back to Brittany's comment, it's like, you know how many people would say like limiting your dog's toys is like,
it's mean. Oh my God.
It's like how to lose value to your dog is to give them free access to everything they want. And now you're just the doormat.
No, not every, not, you nailed it. Everything. Material things.
Yeah.
Emotional things.
Affection. Praise.
Space,
attention.
Yep. Oh,
free reign of the house. You go where you want, do what you want. Literally just become so unvaluable to your
right.
dog.
It's like, it's just like
when Wes plays with a toy, I can't, like, he brings it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Are you gonna engage with me? Like, that's what your dog should
right.
do. Like there's value to limiting access to things, because then when you present the resource, it becomes a much more exciting thing to the dog.
Do you know that I don't even have toys for Tex? He has in the swimming pool.
Yeah, they have chuck-it balls.
It's a chuck-it ball. We play chuck-it. He has a chuck-it ball. Other than that,
but they don't. Even if we did give them free access, they wouldn't just sit there and like play with.
There's a couple of toys lying around I've seen, and they don't give a shit.
They only engage with us.
Right. Right. Like that's they're right. Yeah. It's just like your dog doesn't need is like all this stuff. Like more toys does not equal more love. And I hear that. I care. I love my dog so much. I get him the best of everything. I'm like, you do? So your dog doesn't know the prices of things. They just don't. They don't know how much you spent. Because when they destroy it, they don't know how much it's going to cost to replace. Mm-hmm. Next.
Skylar said, thank you for the information. I'll reach out when I can. This has been super informative.
Yeah. Watch all of our free stuff, Skylar.
Joyful Canine said, today our highest energy boxer bully mix was too aroused in the pack walk without thinking, said settle, which has been conditioned for inside in the car. The dog dropped and doubled down in the middle of the sidewalk.
Good.
He knows settle.
Obviously, the work is working.
The Great Scott, I've got a one-year-old male dog who is not neutered. He's potty trained, but marks all over the house randomly. Any way to resolve quickly?
Neutering ain't going to help.
It's not going to stop
it. It's not going to stop it. So, you know, I'm not one of these. I'm not a fanatic spay and neuter person. I got no problem with it, but I'm just like, you just don't need to do it to stop any unwanted behavior. But marking, there's plenty of dogs. I mean, Wes is intact and he does mark outside, but he doesn't mark inside. So I believe it or not, I wish your dog bit. It'd be easier to fix, believe it or not. I don't want to defeat you at all.
If it's truly marking, it shouldn't be that.
But if it's marking, get yourself an e-collar. You got to wait. You got to set it up. Wait. Just wait to do it. And then when the dog goes to lift its leg, make it suck to mark. And a lot of people will say, limit its water. Okay, fine. Dog's still going to mark. Take it out more often. Dog's going to still mark inside. It's a behavior that has to be stopped.
They will always have something in their bladder.
Yeah.
They like keep it on reserve.
They do.
Like, I'll need that.
They've got the AB switch in their gas tank. They can go from tank A to tank B.
Yeah.
Next.
Jay's Journey. Can you train a highly reactive dog with the e-collar?
That's the number one tool.
Yeah. Oh, without the e-collar.
Oh, gotcha. Absolutely. I can train a dog with a bonker, which is a great punisher, because you need a punisher. You need something in a leash and treats and a clicker.
And it depends on what the dog perceives as punishment.
Yeah.
We've had dogs that honestly don't give a shit about the e-collar and they respect a squirt bottle more.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can.
It depends on the dog.
The bottom line is, to answer your question, yes. Yes. But the e-collar is probably one of the best training tools for simple obedience, advanced obedience, state of mind, separation anxiety, aggression, leash reactivity, stopping, name any unwanted behavior, and it's good for. The e-collar is a wonderful tool. It's a fantastic, fantastic tool. But there's many ways to stop leash reactivity. The bigger issue is most trainers can't stop leash reactivity no matter what tool they use. That's the bigger conversation. Knowing that leash reactivity is within the top three things, right up there with separation anxiety, and then pulling on the leash, which are two separate things, leash reactivity and pulling on the leash, teaching heel and leash reactivity are two separate things, you'd think more people would learn how to stop it. But most people don't know how to stop it. They honestly don't. Reactive Rover classes are a joke. Everybody knows it. It barely works inside a classroom, and then it definitely doesn't translate to outside. We've seen this before. Are there people that are being successful? Sure, but not a high enough percentage to say it's a successful program that's being taught. But yeah, I can train a dog to not be leash reactive without an e-collar. And then you could ask, well, why do you use them? Because it's a better solution most of the time. And I'm advocating for the dog and advocating for the client and advocating for the community and advocating for myself. Why would you not use the best tools available? That's the thing. Why work harder instead of smarter? You know? Because when it comes down to it, the owner needs as much help as possible. That's what a lot of dog trainers forget. A lot of dog trainers forget that they're not training for themselves. We can do things that an owner will never be able to do. Big deal. We're dog trainers. You need to make sure the owner will be successful. That's the job. So owners need as much help as possible. They need as much help as possible. So by giving them, showing them, training them, coaching them, and allowing them to use as many tools as possible, you're advocating for the owner. But it goes both ways. You have somebody that'll say, clickers don't work. And I'm like, whoa, 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 slow down. They absolutely work. Would you like me to train you on how to use a clicker? Because if you say clickers don't work, you're either using it for something that it doesn't work on, because 1 minute you're marking it for a good behavior, 1 minute you're trying to stop an unwanted behavior, and that doesn't make sense to the dog. Also, a lot of people are using clickers not as a marker. They're using it as a command thing.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that so many times.
Yeah, so there's a proper way to use a clicker. So people just need to be more concerned in general, I think. Does your trainer know how to train a dog?
Yeah.
And do they know how to stop an unwanted behavior? And if they have, and most trainers have caps to what their skill set is, and they should be identifiable of what they don't work on. What's my cap? I don't teach sport, don't teach dock diving, don't teach agility, don't teach tricks, and I don't do service dog tasks.
Hey, we do tricks.
I do not do tricks.
Oh, me and Courtney do tricks.
Okay, so I don't do tricks. Well, that's how we met, you doing tricks. So, next. Fuck.
Allie says, 6-month-old standard poodle pup who loses her damn mind when other dogs bark at her.
Mm-hmm.
I've followed you for years. I've watched many of your videos and recently watched your reactivity videos again. Prong and bonkers have been properly used. Positive reinforcement has been properly used. She is not reactive to other dogs unless they bark and lunge at her.
Okay. So positive reinforcement doesn't stop leash reactivity, just to give you a heads up. So because reward-based training is based on the dog doing well, you need to learn how to stop it. But
I'm assuming she means she taught her proper
heat. Right, exactly. But what I'm asking you is the bonker is probably one of the best tools to stop leash reactivity. It could be a timing issue. So this is where coaching is so valuable, because I believe you that you've tried a bonker. I believe you that you've tried all the tools, but I don't know how you incorporated the training into it. And I don't know what your timing is, and I don't know what your intensity is. So in order to stop leash reactivity, you need to understand loading, recognize loading, recognizing it as soon as possible, make sure your no marker is there, and then you need to deploy your punisher at the right level in order to stop it, which is what the dog perceives is a punisher, because applying a punisher stops unwanted behavior. These are just facts. Like, everyone can argue about this all day long, but it's just like, that's like saying reward-based training trains wanted behaviors. It's like, of course they do. So next.
Constance says you already read that one. Jasmine, hey, J&J, I've been on break while training Riley the last week or so.
Mm.
I start back to school next week. Should I crate him while I'm at school to keep up with the training?
Probably. Yeah, I would. I would keep it consistent. Keep it consistent. Yep.
Congrats on going to get your MBA, too.
Mm.
Sarah says, working on NCS in the real world. Logan's obedience is better, but his attentiveness to me is lacking. He does a lot of looking and scanning.
Mm.
Also, on our last trip out, I felt like I was nagging him on a heel.
Okay.
What can I do about the scanning and nagging?
Did you just ask this question last week? Or someone did? Someone asked, okay.
No, you know who this is? Well, this is someone else, but someone in our coaching had this same issue.
Who's that, Sarah? Sarah, how long have you been on NCS, and have you gone up to correction on anything at all in the dog's life, even with a leash? If you feel like you're nagging, which means you're probably possibly been working on it for a while, because you're constantly on that button, right? Your dog is like, dog stops, things are good, dog does it again, boom, we're on the NCS, dog does it again, like that's your nagging, right? You might be underwhelming your dog, because you might be nagging, you actually might be nagging the dog. So chances are your dog might be ready for a correction, a higher level in this one instance. And you want to do it at the very beginning start stages of loading. The good news is If NCS is working on a lower level, meaning your dog's not blowing through it, chances are your higher level is going to work really, really well. Next.
Jasmine said, update on training. I've been working on his state of mind before leaving the house bonking. We saw a dog at the elevator after walking out, and I caught the loading and he settled into a sit.
Good job. Good for you. Good. Excellent job. Because that's where it starts. That's where it starts. There's so many folks that are not paying attention to the front door. And I understand why. Dog's excited to go on a walk. I mean, I get it. Of course it is excited to go on the walk. Of course it is. What dog isn't? You know, well, we know some dogs that don't. They're miserable about everything we do. Not just us, but about everything. Everything. They're miserable about life. We've met some real duds out there. You know, they're just like.
They just want to be on the couch.
But meanwhile, if you let them just play off leash somewhere, they'll have a great time. Literally, as soon as you tell them to do something, oh my gosh, my life is over. It's sort of like, what are you, a teenager? So, but the state of mind, when you take an overly aroused dog outside, especially it sounds like you live in an apartment building too, it's like, yeah, you take it out into the hallway, and if there's another dog there, and if your dog is prone to explode, like, yep, there you go. Dogs can explode. Yeah, happens. So good. I'm glad you recognize that. I'm glad you're working on it. I'm glad you're successful. Mm-hmm. Next.
Joyful Canine said the higher rate is still worth it. I buy in now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Call me biased, but I think our community is unbeatable.
This is it. If people knew what the result would be down the road,
they
would easily do it. The problem is people in this industry, they've been jaded. Like the first comment we got.
Yeah.
They've been jaded.
Yeah. Everyone says their program's the best. Yeah.
So,
but ours really is.
Yeah. I mean, of course it is. But it's like, but there's ways to document proof.
Yeah.
There's ways to document proof. Yeah.
Also, though, the people in our community.
Yeah.
Like, everybody wants to see you truly do well.
They do. It's a true community. Yeah. People actually care. Nice.
Enjoy the journey. Dog training said a client spent $200+. On pheromone stuff recommended by a vet for separation anxiety and barking.
Mm-hmm.
25 kennel, $70 bark collar, saved the problem. I told her to return everything, but she was embarrassed.
Why? Why are you embarrassed? People, it's like, don't be embarrassed.
Pheromone stuff?
Don't be embarrassed.
I've never even heard of that for separation anxiety. Yeah. Does it smell like them to like soothe the dog?
It might not have been exactly pheromones, but it could be like the same stuff that you, like the stuff you put in your, what's it called? Right by the on the counter by the book.
Essential oils.
But what's a diffuser?
Okay.
And a diffuser. It could have been something like that.
Is this the pheromones?
No, it could be. It's a scent. It's almost like you play soft music and you've got.
Oh, I see. It could be calming pheromones.
But it could be also pheromones that they put on the dog too. They put on the dog. There's a lot of things you can do. A lot of essential oils you can do. But the bottom line is this: if they're embarrassed to return it. As long as it's returnable, just return it.
Adaptil is pheromones to simulate a mother dog. Interesting.
Oh, I get it. Well, does it work? That stops separation anxiety?
I've never even heard of that.
Does it work? Does it work?
Curious. Like, should we be recommending it? Well, based on Holly's thing, it doesn't work.
Because separation anxiety is, you get some dogs that are literally ripping out their teeth.
Literally.
They have no toenails left at all. They're destroying property. They're destroying their crates. If they're out of the crate, they're destroying the sheetrock, the molding, the furniture, everything. If you can get a pheromone and I'll shove it up the damn dog's ass with my tongue if I have to. I mean, give me a break. Come on now. If that's the answer, sign me up.
Sam says supposedly lavender can calm dogs. I don't know.
Yeah, well, lavender's supposed to calm me. That ain't working.
I get like weird about using our diffuser because I've heard like some essential oils are bad for pets. So then I like never use it because I get scared.
Was it like a carbon dioxide?
No, I think it's more so cats, but then I'm like, I'm not going to look up every freaking essential oil blend to see if it's safe. I just stop using the damn thing because I don't know. I get nervous.
Yeah, I know you do. Nervous or neurotic? Which one?
I did like that little diffuser, though.
Well, then why don't you start using it? Dogs are still breathing just fine.
I just got a female Frenchton, Mia, to add to my 3 male Boston Terriers. Mia attacks Zuko and Rollins then joins in. How do I break up this confrontation?
Well, you're going to need to set it up and you need to understand about how punishment is applied. And you're going to probably would recommend doing a one-on-one online consult. My podcast, one thing my podcast is not really good for is how to coach families on dog fighting, because there's way too many variables. You've got the timing issue. You've got, there might be a household management issue there. Then you've got four dogs. I need to know more about the four dogs. I need to know about your skill set. But the bottom line is you're going to set it up. There could be something, believe it or not, the dog that's actually attacking the other dog, it might not even be that dog's fault. It might be the dog that's being attacked's fault. Like, you'd be surprised. We, people have sent the wrong dogs to us for a board and train for dog aggression. I'm like, your dog, you send us the wrong dog. Because we know this, they go home and they bring the other dog and we're like, that's your problem dog right there. So there's a lot of, and a lot of really good dogs are kicked out of doggy daycare for getting into a fight. That's because two or three other dogs were picking on it all the time. And they just decided to fight back one day. But nobody saw the two or three dogs or didn't care because they weren't pitties or something like that. And they don't, not a big fan of pitties, some people. So I need to know a little bit more information. But in the general thing is we're going to set up the scenario. And you're going to then be applying a punisher. But there's a lot of work to do before that. What's the energy of the household? What's the rules of the household? You've got four dogs, so you should have a management plan and a training plan for your household. So what does that look like? There's a lot of variables. So, and we need to talk to each other. So you can go to Solid Canine Academy. You can go to Solid Canine Academy. Also, if you want to join our 90-day fast track coaching, which if you have four dogs, like, they'll all be incredibly well trained. A lot of people think their dogs are trained, but I'm like, are they doing three to four hour downstays at cafes with tons of distractions? Are they, you know, can they be off leash trusted almost 100% of the time?
We have a client in there right now who's reintegrating her pack after.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. But she does go away sometimes. Yeah.
Look who's on here. Michael, who has not been on the show. We have not seen Michael since we went to dinner with him like 3 years ago.
Michael down in Pennsylvania or
Virginia.
Virginia.
Oh, I didn't go to that seminar though. So you've seen him more recently. Mm. Oh my gosh, Michael, I hope you're well. Mm. Says he has a 4-month-old puppy that will not move on a leash. I've dealt with this hundreds of
times. Oh, yeah.
This puppy is different and I'm running out of ideas. Did you try offering it cheesecake? No.
So, and you've tried, I'm sure you've tried like everything I'm going to suggest because you get a lot of those. So, we're not big fans of using an e-collar on a dog that young, but combination of e-collar pressure and leash pressure to motivate the dog.
Low level. I mean, 16 weeks, we'll usually start layering it over their obedience. Right.
But you need to make it also hot that the dog doesn't move. Yeah. But if you've tried the north, south, east, west protocol, you need to get that dog movement. Also try on different surfaces. So maybe it's cement the dog's not walking on, but grass it will. At the beginning, do your training on grass.
Also put it on a long line and like run the other way. Usually they'll want to follow you.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things. And a lot of people think, you know, oh, use food. Do you know how many dogs do not care? They just don't care. I would say 50% of the dogs that we train, we can't food train because they don't care about food. They just don't. That's not their motivation. That's not their motivation. It's just not. Next.
Snugglebun said, the Adaptil. My vet tried that on my GSD as a puppy too. He gave not one single care. Okay. Yeah. Good to know.
But that doesn't mean it doesn't work. I just want to know. I'm always interested in medication or, in this case, essential stuff, but it sounds like this might be an actual medication though. I'm always a little bit skeptical of that fixing a behavioral issue. I already think Big Pharm is too deep into veterinary medicine, but when it comes to behavioral stuff and state of mind stuff, unless you totally dosed your dog up to the max on the maximum amount of Prozac, and to the point where the dog barely even moved, it's like, yeah, then we'll probably stop doing a lot of this stuff because it can't even move. But I would be really surprised on your basic prescription drug at the required dosage, recommended dosage, having any type of effect, you know, to fix an unwanted behavior. Next.
Jay's Journey said, e-collar on a puppy is ridiculous. 16 weeks old, we start layering it over
it all depends on what you're trying to do. It all depends on what you're trying to do. So
I'm not like correcting them, but it's no different than leash pressure.
Right. I mean, that's, you know, it's why just an e-collar? People are, you know, it's not ridiculous. You're not talking about going to 100. You know, the sensation that an e-collar feels, and this is the thing, a lot of people think the dog has to be 5 months old, 6 months old. Some people like, so, but if you have a 16-week-old puppy and you've got this one situation, we had a younger than 16-week-old puppy that wouldn't stop barking in the crate. It came from a trainer. She knew everything. She tried a dozen different things to stop the dog from barking in the crate.
And it was starting to get massive separation
anxiety. Nothing worked on it. And we just put an e-collar on it the first night. We just corrected it. And it stopped. We stopped a problem that she had for a month. And that's how long, because it was a young dog. We stopped it in for 3 seconds. So an e-collar on a puppy is not ridiculous. But you have to understand how e-collars work. You have to fully understand how we train on an e-collar. You have to understand what priming is, what CS is, what NCS is, and then the correction stage. By the time a dog is in a correction stage, you're 6 weeks into, most likely 6 weeks into training. So now you've got yourself, you know, an almost 6-month-old dog.
Right. Everyone thinks e-collar equals put it on and blast the dog.
And just correct the dog.
That's not how we train.
It's the farthest thing from it. The sensation of an e-collar is no different at a low level than the sensation, which is how you train all your obedience. It's all layered. You can use food. You can actually even use a clicker if you want to. You know, you can use a clicker to and the e-collar. So e-collar on a puppy is not preposterous or mean. We just have a different view of it and possibly different experiences. That's all. That's all. But that doesn't mean you have to, but you can. That's all. We usually don't, but that doesn't mean you can't do it. We have. Next.
8 o'clock already. Holly said, LOL, I'm going to take sit off the list of commands I teach and see how many clients ask me if I teach it, LOL. Probably zero.
No, but I think most dogs come in already knowing it.
Yeah.
I think that's the first thing that everybody trains their dog.
Mm-hmm. Constance said they make belly bands for the marking. We had to use them for a while with one of our males until we could catch him to correct the behavior. He was super sneaky and fast when he did it.
Yeah. Belly band goes around. Mm. It's like a headband for the belly. And it covers up the penis. Some dogs don't care. Some dogs do not care. They'll pee in them anyway. But some dogs won't after they do it the first time. Next.
Sarah said, yeah, I've been there a while.
On NCS, yes, time to correct.
Yeah. That's probably why you feel like you're nagging a lot. Mm-hmm. Allie said, I time the corrections when she is loading before she reacts. I've increased the severity of the corrections, but she doesn't care. Mm. Yes, positive reinforcement of wanted behavior, ignoring other dogs. She does not react to dogs who are at a distance or if they're behind a barrier.
Yeah, yeah. So you might have to go up higher. Your timing might have to be earlier, but there's a lot of other protocols you can be doing for leash reactivity that have nothing to do with the walk. There's also about holding your dog accountable in the house for a lot of basic things. We have a leash reactivity course. I don't know if she has that or not. Leash reactivity course.
She said she was looking at our leash reactivity
course. So we have a bundle right now. All four courses are for the price of like $197. It's like $800 in courses. Next.
I'm trying to find the link to that. Here it is. Let's see. Jan said the community is out of this world. I agree, Joelle. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really great.
I'm glad because it took us a long time to build it and it's finally here. Allie said, I tell her no and correct as soon as I see her loading. She still blows through the correction, lunges, screams, barks. Snugglebone said, Adaptil's pheromones. It did nothing to calm down my GSD. Nikki said, I had tried Adaptil years ago. Didn't work at all. Go figure. Training works better.
I guess it's been around for a while.
And Joyful Canine said, nope, pheromones don't work. I also got it from my cat in heat and it made me itchy. And then they offered cat birth control shots.
Wow. Didn't know they had those.
Me neither.
Wow.
Constance said, I would think if it's pheromones to stimulate a mother dog, I would just make the dog hungry and then they would just want to nurse. Alicia said, hey guys, sorry I missed the live. I'll definitely watch the replay.
All right, thanks.
Cassie said, they definitely don't work for us. Wow, a lot of people have tried this shit.
Damn.
I've never even like really heard of it.
I've never heard of it. Well, that's because we don't run in those circles. And
yeah.
In 20 years, a client has never. Yeah,
people come to us because stuff's not working.
But they've also said like they've had their dogs on drugs before.
Yeah.
But they've never mentioned that before. I've never heard that in my life before. Pheromones. Yeah. Pheromones I have.
But that's what Adaptil is. Adaptil is the pheromone.
Oh, maybe I never heard it by the name brand. Got it.
Do they eat it or do they smell it? Do you put it on the dog? Like, how does it work? I'm curious now.
They put it in a fucking pipe and smoke it.
Like, hold on. You're going to light the crack pipe.
It's true. They put it on a spoon.
Oh, it is a diffuser.
Yeah.
Really? Interesting.
So, I just don't see that. The power of behavior modification is just so powerful.
Really interesting. Erica says lavender is fine for dogs. Oh, that's good to know. I can go back to using my lavender diffuser.
There you go. Good.
Good. Great. Because I feel like that relaxed me.
It did?
Yeah.
Can you double up on that? Please double the dose.
Alicia, what is your suggestion for a household with a 4-year-old GSD adding a new GSD puppy? The 4-year-old isn't crate trained, free roams, no prong, no e-collar.
Yeah, I don't care about the tools. I'm more concerned about, like, is the dog, and I don't care about the training as much as the behavior. So what's the behavior? What's the behavior of the dog? And has ever met a puppy before? So Joel and I both have dogs that wouldn't be good puppy raisers. They wouldn't be good. They don't have patience. They don't like the energy. They don't have patience. Then you've got other dogs that are great puppy raisers. Also, does the dog have any basic obedience? But if free roams, what are they going to do with the puppy? But they should start thinking about the concept of more structure in the dog's life, both of their dogs, kenneling them both. Training them both. I don't care how, just training them both. Household management, routine, definitely feeding them in their own kennels. Next.
We gotta start winding down soon.
Go.
It's 8:06. Road Dogs Rehab says sounds like snake oil. I mean, I'm sure it's probably worked for someone.
You know,
right? I'm sure there's a dog out there.
You know, unfortunately, a lot of big pharma is. Unfortunately, it is. I think a lot of people now after COVID realize that. And if you're not, don't know what I'm talking about, you were not given a vaccination. It didn't stop the spread. You can still get it. And these are not opinions. This is not an words from an anti-vaxxer. This is just the truth. It's not my opinion. It's not my feeling. It's just the truth. And I think after that, when you get the highest ranking medical professional in the country to be on TV all day long saying all these things, like masks work, the vaccination works, I think a lot of the public lost faith in the medical community. When it comes down to pets, we have to remember that we put more trust in vets. We rarely question them whatsoever. Not too many people question their vet about stuff. So like, do I even really, does my dog really need this surgery? Does it really need this test? What will that, like, to spay and neuter, what does that actually do? Or is that just the thing you should be doing right now? Oh, it stops procreation. Okay, there's, you can do, like, Wes has never procreated. He's 8. He's an intact male. He's never procreated before. He's around intact females. So there's lots of, like, lots of different things out there that we should be questioning about. Question about everything. Question about everything. All right. Time to go, I guess. Past 8. Oh, shit, it's 8:08. Mm-hmm. All right.
We got the community coaching call tomorrow, 11 a.m.
Oh, we have one at 11 a.m.? Oh, shit.
And then we have fast track at 7 p.m.
Oh, geez. I know it's 11.
Why?
I got something.
You do?
Mm-hmm. I'll move it around.
Oops.
It's okay. All right. Did you want to say something, Nolan?
I did.
Did you run around the block to get here?
Yep. All righty. So, anyways, this Sunday on the 24th, right?
I don't know. Actually, don't know the date.
Oh, it's the 24th.
Yeah, okay. So, on Sunday this week, March 24th, I'm going to be doing one of my fun fact podcasts. All right? So, good morning, good afternoon, good night, wherever you are. Bye!
Thanks, buddy.
Good night, everyone.
All right, everybody. Take care.